the Supreme Lord? Is there supreme shelter? Yes. Yogamayam unto Yogamaya. The spiritual potency of Krishna. Samadhishat, ordered as follows. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. To protect the Yadus, His personal devotees, from Kamsa's attack, the personality of Godhead, Vishvatma, the Supreme Soul of everyone, ordered Yogamaya as follows. Purport. The words Bhagavan Api Vishvatma Viditva Kamsa Jambayam are commented upon by Srila Sanatana Goswami. Bhagavan Svayam is Krishna. Krishna stu Bhagavan Svayam. His Vishvatma, the original Supersoul of everyone, because his plenary portion expands as the Supersoul. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Kshetragyam Chapimam Vidi Sarva Kshetreshu Bharata. Lord Krishna is the Kshetragya, or Super Soul, of all living entities. He is the original source of all expansions of the personality of Godhead. There are hundreds and thousands of plenary expansions of Vishnu, such as Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudeva, but here in this material world, the Vishvatma, the Super Soul for all living entities, is Kshirodakashaya Vishnu. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18:61, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtati. The Supreme Lord is situated in the heart of all living entities, or Arjuna. Krishna is actually Vishvatma by his plenary expansion as Vishnu Tattva, yet because of his affection of his devotees, he acts as the Super Soul to give them directions. Sarvasya Chaham Hridi Sanivishto Mata Smritir Gyanam Apohanam Cha. The affairs of the Super Soul pertain to Kshirodakashaya Vishnu, but Krishna took compassion on Devaki, his devotee, because he understood her fear of Kamsa's persecution. A pure devotee is always fearful of material existence. No one knows what will happen next, for one may have to change his body at any moment. Tatadehantara prapti. Knowing this fact, a pure devotee acts in such a way that he will not have his life spoiled by being obliged to accept another body and undergo the tribulations of material existence. This is bayam, or fear. Bayam dvitya bini veshata syat, Bhagavatam 11:37. This fear is due to material existence. Properly speaking, everyone should always be alert and fearful of material existence. But although everyone is prone to be affected by the ignorance of material existence, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is always alert to the protection of his devotees. Krishna is so kind and affectionate toward his devotees that he helps them by giving them the intelligence by which to exist in this material world without forgetting him, even for a moment. The Lord says, Tesham evanukam partam, aham agyanajam tama, nashayamiyatma bhavasto, agyanadipena bhasvata. Out of compassion for them, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Bhagavad Gita 10:11. The word yoga means link. Any system of yoga is an attempt to reconnect our broken relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are different types of yoga, of which Bhakti Yoga is the best. In other yoga systems, one must undergo various processes before attaining perfection, but Bhakti Yoga is direct. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 6:47, Yoginam api sarvesham madgatan Taratmana Shadavan Bhajate Yomam Samei Yuktatamo Mataha. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. For the Bhakti Yogi, a human body is guaranteed in his next existence, as stated by Lord Krishna, Shuchinam Shimatam Gehe Yoga Brashto Bijayate. Yoga Maya is the spiritual potency of the Lord. Out of affection for his devotees, the Lord always stays in spiritual touch with them, although otherwise his Maya potency is so strong that she bewilders even exalted demigods like Brahma. Therefore, the Lord's potency is called Yoga Maya. Since the Lord is Vishvatma, he immediately ordered Yoga Maya to give protection to Devaki. Srila Prabhupada speaks at the end of the purport about yoga. Yoga nowadays is very popular in the West. But if you ask people what they practice as yoga, in most cases it's not really not very inspiring. It's many cases there's just some girls doing some stretching. Yeah, we have not. There's nothing wrong with stretching, but it's not yoga. So people are not actually practicing yoga. They are practicing at most some asanas, some physical movements, and maybe some breathing exercises or pranayamas. And of course, these are useful for people in the West. This is a huge advancement. You know, like that sometimes they before they used to go to the gym, and now they found out that maybe yoga is even better than going to the gym. So that's an advancement, and it's actually useful because they understand, oh, this yoga, maybe there's something to it. But of course, this is not it. And actually, even the yoga system which people are supposed to be practicing, it's called Hatha Yoga, and it has a lot more than asana and pranayama. It actually starts with yama and niyama, rules and regulation, very heavy, and not so well known in the West. Yogi is supposed to be non-violent, so he should be vegetarian. This at some point I met quite some yoga teachers, and you are quite surprised to see that the yoga teachers. I mean, of course, you have the yoga practitioners. They just came today and they are doing something, some stretching and yeah, whatever. But if you're a yoga teacher, I mean, you're supposed to know what you're doing. And I was quite surprised to see that probably half of the yoga teachers are not even vegetarian. Like, what? Really? Anyway, so that's... So there are some principles. There's ahimsa, non-violence. And then there's... Oh, this is heavy. This is really heavy in the West. A yogi should practice brahmacharya. He should be celibate. This sometimes even in devotee society we don't talk about this. This is like, oh. This is a sensitive topic. Because nobody, it's very hard to. So a yogi is supposed to, in some way or another, follow these four regulative principles. He has to follow the principles anyway. They are somehow included. And a yogi should be truthful. Truthfulness is the last leg of religion in Kali Yuga. Remember that the bull of religion was staying on one leg only. He had four legs before, and now he had only one. The last leg was truthfulness. And truthfulness is very, very important for practitioners. I mean, there can be external truthfulness. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada gives this idea that if you're selling something, a merchant usually says, "From you, sir, I don't take any profit." So, I mean, you're a merchant. There's some limit to your truthfulness. That but it's very, very important to be honest, at least with yourself, you know, like, Which, of course, if you're dishonest outside, at some point it's gonna be hard to maintain this double standard, you know. Like, and but it's very important to be honest with yourself, especially about what you should do and what you're doing. That's very, very important. Otherwise, there's this tendency. You have some principles you should follow. And there's, for some time, there's some concession. You know, like you have someone coming to the Hare Krishna movement, you tell him, just chant Hare Krishna. Yes, but I'm not vegetarian. Yeah, no problem. What does this no problem mean? This means, yes, it's a problem, but first you chant Hare Krishna, and then you read Prabhupada's books, you associate with the devotees, and then we'll deal with this problem later. It doesn't mean it's not a problem. It means, yes, it is a problem, but we want to have a, you know, gradual approach. So then you might, of course, this is a brute example, but there's more subtle examples where we have this tendency. And then you can say, after 3 years, you say, look, I'm here in Hare Krishna, and they say it's not a problem if I'm not a vegetarian. And then you preach to others, and like, look, this it's not a problem if you're vegetarian. So that's how you create an apa sampradaya. And that's you have some principles, you have some, and then you have some concession for some time, or some desires which you introduce. Sometimes you introduce some people come with some ideas, and they take some Krishna consciousness as something else. They make a mix, and then you preach that, and then this becomes the new standard. So that's a very risky. So it's very important to understand what's standard and what's a deviation, what we should do and what we are not doing yet because, for some reasons, you know, like. Anyway, so truthfulness is very important. Yogi is very clean. A yogi is always satisfied with whatever comes on its own accord. You know, like if there's some roots for breakfast today, just some fruits that he got in the forest, and a few berries and a few roots, then he's happy. That's all right. It's yoga means that you have all the habits of the mode of goodness. And, of course, a yogi is supposed to study the shastras. It's called svadhyaya. And practice some austerity. And there is also a very interesting part which is listed there. It's called Ishvara Pranidhana, contemplation of Ishvara, of the Supreme Controller. So, which actually gives an indication of what's the purpose of yoga. So the purpose of yoga is to connect with the Supreme Controller, with Paramatma. And that's the preliminary part. And then, of course, he's practicing this asana, pranayama, pratyahara, withdrawal of the senses. And then he starts meditating, you know, like dharana, dhyana, samadhi. And this meditation should be usually for the yogis on the Paramatma, on the super soul, because there is a mention of the super soul here in the purport. So the yogis should meditate on the super soul. They should meditate on Krishna anyway. So that's why meditation doesn't mean sometimes they think, oh, breath awareness is meditation. Yeah, I mean, it can be preliminary step. But eventually meditation should lead to this point where you meditate on Krishna in some form or another. So eventually Srila Prabhupada gives straight to the conclusion, goes straight to the conclusion, like, eventually if you're doing yoga, you get to bhakti yoga. Krishna says that actually it's better than meditating on Paramatma, you meditate on himself. And this meditation is not a passive meditation, means devotional service. That you actually do something. So it's quite simple. Even the yogis should actually, if they are really honest about their yoga practice, they eventually should get to Krishna consciousness. So it's a more difficult process, the yoga process, and provide that. So that's a side dish on yoga. Srila Prabhupada talks in the purport about how Paramatma is guiding us from the heart. People nowadays, they are very interested in this intuition. You know, like this is something everyone is following their intuition, because that's what how they feel in their heart. And this intuition is actually a very complicated thing, because it's really hard to distinguish between real intuition and something that is coming from the mind. You know, like real intuition means hearing the super soul. That's real intuition. But there's also many thoughts which are coming from the mind, from past activities. It might be very natural, because we have done some things in past life. It might be intuitively we might feel attracted. Oh, I have to do this. And then if you see, oh, is this intelligent? Maybe not. But I used to do this a lot, you know, like, so it's like a mechanism. It's like, oh yeah, this is my intuition. So it's very, it's always very important to consider this intuition and to check if this intuition does fit with what Guru Sadhu Shastras are telling us. So this our process is called Buddhi Yoga. Buddhi means intelligence. Intelligence is supposed to check the mind, control the mind. If you get some ideas, we should check if these ideas are intelligent. So we should catch these ideas and see, look, are these shastric? Are these according to what the gurus are telling us? Yes, no, maybe. And if they are not, yeah, maybe maybe we ignore. If we get the idea, oh, maybe my intuition is telling me I should drink a beer. And then you can check in the shastras. It's like, is it good to drink a beer? Maybe not. Okay. Good. Maybe not. Maybe next time. So it's important to check these ideas which are supposed to be intuition by Guru Sadhu Shastra. And that also there are so many gurus nowadays. They are presenting their own realization, what they feel. They got this revelation and so on. And then you can check these gurus and ask if they are so realized, why doesn't their realization fit with the shastras? You know, like, because eventually there's not two truths. There's one truth. Of course, there's different levels of understanding the truths, and different spiritual writings are on different levels, but eventually it's only one truth. So if you, by some mystic process, you got a realization, this realization should fit with the shastras. Otherwise, you know, it's not bona fide. Like Lord Chaitanya is in this discussion with Prakashananda Sarasvati is describing that he started chanting Hare Krishna and he has this all these symptoms that, of ecstasy. And he's going to his spiritual master and he's asking, what's this? Is this all right? You know, like this normal process, you know, like I have this supposed ecstasy, mystic ecstasy. And is this all right? You know, like, and this his spiritual master, he says, yes, yes, this is according to the shastra. This is here. You chant Hare Krishna, you should have this this manifestation. Oh, okay, then it's all right. So That's an indication that we should, if there's a real realization, then it should fit with the results of the Shastras. Not that you feel something. It might be, you know, like sometimes Paramatma gives you some intuitive understanding of something, but this should fit with the Shastra. You know, like you should say, oh, yeah, there it is. Oh, I knew it. Sometimes you feel, oh, I knew it all along. I just wanted to see it written somewhere. So, that's a bit about intuition and common sense, because some of the things we might say are common sense, and we might discover that our common sense is different than the common sense of the Shastra. There's many examples. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada also speaks about fear. And we should sometimes we're like, oh, we're devotees, we should not be fearful. And he speaks about a healthy fear of material existence. We should never feel that, oh, now I'm a devotee, I'm in a good position, life is good. Because this material world is made in such a way that something can happen at any moment. Like this. This material world is a very dangerous place. You can go to the in front of the temple, and there will some car might bump into you. And finish. So it can happen. And we should think that, okay, now I'm in a very good position. We are maybe living in a temple, or we're in contact with some devotees. We are in contact with Krishna consciousness in some way or another. So this is really rare, you know, like it is quite rare. This material world is not a place where there's too much Krishna consciousness. Especially in Kali Yuga, it's not meant to be. So we should not become complacent. We should not get into that, life is good. Yeah. It's good. I'm in a temple. I'm sleeping in a temple. You know, like, and because I sleep in a temple for some time, then Krishna will come personally to take me at the end of the life, and he will not send his vimanas, he will come personally. No, we should make the best of this. We have the association of advanced devotees. Who maybe they have a certain age, and maybe they will not be here in 50 years. So we should take advantage of this. And take most of this. Srila Prabhupada takes care, says that Krishna personally takes care of the devotees. So of course this is true. He says in this purport that he doesn't just appear as Paramatma, he just personally takes care of his devotees. But we should see that we become such devotees. We should see what our priorities are. So we should live our lives in such a way. He says in a purport, a pure devotee acts in such a way that he will not have his life spoiled by being obliged to accept another body and undergo the tribulations of material existence. Pure devotee is thinking, oh, let's finish this in this lifetime. Let's make the most out of it. Because then you get another body, you know, like you have to learn to walk again, you have to learn to read again. It's so many problems, you know, like you have to... So many problems, you know, like you're studying the shastras, you're doing some devotional service, and then you end up and you're like, and then you'll have to learn how to eat, you know, how to do that, how to do that, how to tie your shoelaces, and it's like, come on, again, and then you go to school and they're like, hey. And then you write a whole page of it's a problem, you know, like it's something we should avoid, you know, like anyway. A pure devotee is thinking, okay, how to finish this in this lifetime. Of course, you know, like whatever advancement we make in this life, we will start from there in the next life. So it's not so horrible, but a bit horrible it is. You know, like it's so many problems. So the idea is that we should become as serious as possible, and we should do as much as possible to adapt to Krishna's values, to see what Krishna wants and just do that. And the other things, you know, like, it's not so important. We should see what Krishna's priorities are. We have many priorities. And Krishna's main priority for this world is that we become Krishna conscious and we help others become Krishna conscious. Srila Prabhupada wanted this movement spread all over the world. He didn't want that in Slovenia are 200 or 300 devotees or whatever number that is. He wanted probably there's closer to 2 million devotees in Slovenia than than to 200. So this takes some serious endeavor. Of course, so this would be at least our meditation. It's more or less a question of meditation. We have this example now. Few weeks ago, maybe 1 month, 2 months, we said, "Okay, we have to do something because we have almost no Harinams." So we were thinking, "Okay, how? What to do?" You know, and just maybe we didn't do so much, but we were focused on this. So, like, let's do something, you know, like. And then we came to the conclusion that at least Saturday we should have Harinam. And because of this meditation, some things happened, you know, like you got this devotee, we got activated somehow or came out of nowhere, and you're like, okay, we finally have some enthusiastic group, you know, like, and out of nothing, you know, like, you have we started to put more focus on bringing in new people, and you have this meditation in mind, and something happened, you know, like sometimes you look and you know, oh, this new guy, oh, he came once, twice, three times, 10 times. You're like, oh, maybe this actually works. So it's a question of meditation. If we put some meditation, some effort, Krishna will reciprocate with this, and this is Krishna's desire, because people are actually looking for Krishna. Of course, that's if you stop them on the street, that they will tell you that it's probably the last thing they would think of doing. But actually, if you talk to them a bit more, you know, like, you talk to them once, twice, three times, they're thinking, yeah, actually, there should be something deeper, something more spiritual. And you talk to them more, and eventually they're like, oh, maybe, look, your philosophy is not so bad after all. I might give it a try, and they come, you know, like, oh, just try it once. Of course, you're not becoming a Hare Krishna. No, no worries. Just come, read, chant a bit. Just, and then they realize, oh, I'm a Hare Krishna already. Ah, too late. So anyway, Krishna is all attractive, and then they are actually attracted to Krishna, even if they don't think they are. So we should just present Krishna consciousness as it is. We don't really need to adapt too much. Sometimes there's this tendency where they say they are not interested. Maybe I'll present something else. You know, like they're like, oh, I'm not interested in this. This is about God. And then you think, oh, maybe I should tell him something else. You know, like something that he can appreciate. You know, like more talk to him about football. You know, like. But actually, if you present it in a proper way, they are attracted. So, because Krishna is just attractive, so all attractive, so we should resist somehow this tendency to present something else, you know, like, because if you hide Krishna, then, yeah, Krishna will also hide it from us. So, yeah, that's our realization somehow, that you put some effort in this direction and something happen. So, we should just increase this meditation, and maybe not 2 million in this year, but maybe 300 or something. Some things can happen if we increase our meditation, and so that's the most important thing Srila Prabhupada wanted. You know, like he wanted that we become Krishna conscious, that we align to his value, that we live in such a way. In a way which Krishna would like us to, and that we give to others. And then this community might grow, and even more important than this, Krishna might say, oh, this is interesting devotee. Like, I think Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was saying that don't live in a way that you want to see Krishna. Live in a way that Krishna wants to see you. So yeah, that's it. I'll stop here. If there's some questions, concerns, comments. Okay. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.